my first spiritual father came up to me and said, "You're speaking this coming Sunday." And that was like, I don't know, a week away, I guess. And that morning, I think I wore a path up in the middle of the carpet. And he pulled me into the office and said, "You nervous?" I said, "Yeah, I'm really nervous." And he said, "Good, hold on to that. Because anytime you step behind and espouse to speak words that God has given you, you should be very, very nervous." The message that I believe the Lord has given me this week, it's called First Things First. And with New Year's, 2 days away? Or is that tomorrow, actually? Isn't it New Year's Eve? Is tomorrow night? New Year's Day? If you're like me, your New Year's past is full of New Year's resolutions that we have not kept. This year, I'm going to lose weight. This year, I'm going to eat better. This year, I'm going to do this or that. Or we make all kinds of promises that we're going to do, and we break every one of them. And I think that I believe there's a reason for that. Because whenever we make New Year's resolutions, there's a big word in there that just glares out at us every time we speak it. When we say a resolution, we say, "I am going to do this or that this year." There's the source of the problem. Is where we're laying our trust in that we're going to do this. I got this, Lord. I got this one. I'm going to lose weight this year. But we forget that to do that, you got to eat better. Got to lay off the Mac burgers and those sorts of things. There's the source of the problem, is in that big word, I. And the verse that I'd like to use today is, as we move into this message, this is a verse that all of us can quote. It's a very familiar verse, and you'll recognize it as soon as I speak it, which is, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you." The solution to the problem of I in our resolutions is to put first things first. Put priorities in our life. To seek first, one, the kingdom of God, and then two, his righteousness. Just a little back on this verse comes right out of the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, when Yeshua is talking about the kingdom of God. He talks about, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are..." Verses preceding to talk about that the kingdom is a spiritual one. It's not a kingdom of flesh and bone, of money and success, power and greed. It's not climbing the corporate ladder. It's not being a hero. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's not an earthly one. It has spiritual rewards and not earthly rewards. The Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are those," etc., etc. And the first thing I see out of this seeking is that seeking involves action. There's too many people and all of us a lot of times sit there and talk about or wait for the Holy Spirit to hit us. When the Holy Spirit hits me, then I'll move. When the Holy Spirit moves in my heart, then I'll seek revival. When the Holy Spirit comes on me, then I'll do this. But seeking is a word of action. Seeking involves action, and the actual Greek word, I'm going to probably tear it up as I say it, it's zeteo, which means to seek, literally or figuratively, specifically by Hebraism, to worship God. In 2 Timothy 2:22 says, now flee from youthful desires. Instead, pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and shalom with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. This faith walk is work. It doesn't come easy. This faith walk is full of trials, tribulations, struggles. I see Steve bow his head over there. He knows firsthand the struggles that this faith walk is. Steve's a walking miracle. He should have been by the doctors gone a long time ago. This faith walk is work. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. I whined a bit when I was working this third shift. Oh, my wife just looked at me and said, a little bit? Okay. I whined a lot. Asking God, why? Why, after 19 years, you stick me on third shift? You did this to me when I was a young buck, and it was a lot easier back then than it is now. I'm quite a bit grumpier when I don't have a lot of sleep. If anybody got in a conversation with me here at the congregation and I snapped or looked angry, I apologize. But I survived. Nothing comes without sacrifice. This faith walk doesn't come without sacrifice, especially as the Lord calls you into ministry or to minister to others. It is sacrifice. You get calls all hours of the day, night. It's a sacrifice. And to worship is a sacrifice. Like I said, too many times we wait for the Holy Spirit to move on us. We'll move when the Holy Spirit moves us. Is that what this verse says? It doesn't say, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, seek first the kingdom. What does it say? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What actions are in this seeking first God's kingdom? Praying. Praying is part of seeking the kingdom of God. And how many times I have to admit, do I fall down in that area? I get busy. How many times does our favorite teams on TV playing for the championship? I'll pray later, Lord. Or we want to see a movie. There's a movie we want to see, but it's our prayer time. How many times do we commit to each other, to pray with each other, and then life comes crashing in, we get busy, we get too busy, and we stop praying. So praying is a very important way of seeking the kingdom. Studying God's word is another important portion of seeking God's kingdom. How are we going to know what his kingdom is like? How are we going to know how we should live and walk in this spiritual kingdom if we don't know what he requires of us through studying his word? And that takes time. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes studying instead of doing some other things that our flesh likes to do, because studying is work. I have to admit, I don't like to work. I like to play. Because to study, you have to stop. You have to break out all the books, the concordances, the scriptures. You have to look up all the scripture references. It just doesn't, God just doesn't place upon you all this revelatory knowledge. It takes work. You read the scriptures. Each time you read the scriptures, something new God reveals to you. Something you didn't know the last time you read this portion of scripture. So it takes work. It's effort. This walk is not easy. It takes effort on our part to break open the book, to set time aside. I'm a leisure animal. When I come home from work, I need to unwind. But then that unwinding turns into aimless flipping through the TV. And then you get that tap from the Lord. You know, you could spend some of this time praying and studying. Lord, I'm just tired. I work third shift, you know. Like God doesn't know. So studying takes effort. Worshiping is another way of seeking God's kingdom. Worship your marriages. Our marriages don't work if we don't spend time to build the relationship with the significant other, our wives or our husbands. If we don't spend the time, if we don't make the effort to build that relationship with our loved ones, our relationships suffer. And then if you do that long enough, your relationships can drift apart and they can end up in divorce and all sorts of things that are unpleasing to God. So it takes effort on our part to build a relationship with our spouses. How much more does it take effort to build a relationship with the Lord, to spend the time and worship him, sing to him songs of praise, sing to him songs of worship. Again, it takes time. And how many places in our lives do we waste time? How many time wasters do we have in our lives? You know, when you go to leadership training or any kind of management training, they teach you about time robbers. They tell you that there'll be people in the corporation, or there'll be people that you're in charge over that will rob your time. They'll come to you to talk about all sorts of things that don't really matter about the job. The same thing in our Christian walk, in our belief walk, our faith walk. There's things that will come in to try to rob your time from prayer, from worship, from studying. A big one in a lot of people's houses is that TV set. One of these days, I think I'm going to sit down and calculate how much time I sit in front of the TV set just mindlessly clicking through the channels, finding something to entertain me. So in this, we see this faith walk, that there is an action that we need to seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness. And then we see that there is a priority to this faith walk. Very simple. The word is Greek, proton. Guess what it means? Firstly. So seek, action, priority first. There's an order of importance of things in our spiritual walk. Our faith needs to be above our careers, needs to be above our dreams, needs to be above our desires. In fact, it needs to become the chief desire of our life to do what we need to do to build this faith walk. It needs to be above everything. How many people, have you ever heard somebody ask, have you ever had to give up your Isaac? You know, Abraham, God told him to give up his son. Well, I had an Isaac, and I came face to face with it at a Promise Keepers event. We were singing, we were really getting into the worship. It was just soaring and soaring. And right out of the blue, the Lord spoke to me, says, I want you to preach. I went, just me see, my dream, my desire was to make CDs and to sing. We moved here and I saw we had Carpenter's Home and WCIE. And I said, well, that's the church the Lord will lead us to. And it's got a radio station. We'll be in there, and I'll be singing and making CDs. And right out of the blue, the Lord goes, I want you to preach. And I guess I pulled up Moses. I said, but Lord, I like to sing. And he returned, yeah, I know you like to sing, but I want you to preach. I said, but Lord, I really like to sing. I know you really like to sing, but I want you to preach. And now here's the brainiac moment of this whole conversation. But Lord, you don't understand. I really like to sing. And you know, you can tell when somebody's a bit irritated at you in the response. The response came back, I know you like to sing, but you're going to preach. Or you won't sing. So I had to come to that moment to decide that my dreams and my desires and my wants and what I saw for my future came smack dab face to face with what God had for me at this that juncture in my life. Unbeknownst to me, the pastor of the church that we were attending at the time, Shane Eplin, is sitting next to me, and the Lord's speaking to him, I want you to move on, son. So I get back, and I go, we get back from this event, and I'm really sweating it. I go, what am I? So I made an appointment with Shane, said, went in there and talked to him. I said, brother, I'm actually probably looking for him to say, oh, that wasn't God, that wasn't God. But he said, man, you're not going to believe this. So at the same moment God was speaking you to preach, he was telling me that I need to move on. I went, oh. God does that, doesn't he? He gets you. He makes it so obvious what the choice is. The choice that he wants, and it's so opposite of the choices you want. So we were pastors of a church for small home church for, I don't know, 6-7 years. And it wasn't until recently that the Lord resurrected the music. So this faith walk is not easy. This faith walk takes sacrifice. This faith walk takes work. And this faith walk takes time. Because I think I was like 30-something when I was going to be making CDs. And now I'm coming up on 61. And God is just now restoring the music. But God is good, amen? In his timing, in his way. So what or who is your Isaac? Is there something you need to lay on the altar before the Lord? And so now we see that our in this scripture, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. You see that this seeking, this work, this effort has a target. Just not seek anything out there. There's a target. And that target is his kingdom. In Luke 17:21, it says, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not of flesh and blood. It's not of stone and mortar. It's right here. It's to make his kingdom grow within us. We know that's through prayer, through worship, through seeking and studying. So seeking his kingdom is to build that kingdom within us. The kingdom has come. Yeshua, salvation is here. We receive his salvation and then we build the kingdom within our hearts, building that relationship with him. We build that kingdom within us by changing, becoming less of us and more of him. Was it in Romans 12:1 says, be ye therefore transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The scriptures say, be hearers, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so the other target I'd like to talk about this morning is his righteousness. What is his righteousness? You know, a lot of people struggle with the word the law. Well, really, that word is kind of mistranslated. It's more his teachings, his ways of living. And a lot of people are afraid that, you know, when you talk about the law or whatever, that you're going to get into legalism. And some people can give it to you, that some people can get legalistic. But I submit to you that some people can get legalistic in their freedom. So what about these instructions? We see that Paul talks about the law, that he wouldn't even know what sin was unless he knew the law. And the law is a tutor. The law is something that we've read, and it teaches us things to put within our lives. It doesn't bring us salvation. Yeshua is the only salvation. It doesn't bring us salvation, but it brings to us understanding. It's a tutor that taught us. Now, when we grow up, do you stop listening to, you stop practicing the things that a tutor has taught you? And Yeshua said himself, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. He clarified things. He instructed. See, they thought, don't commit adultery. He said, don't even think about it. Don't murder. He said, don't even think about it. Don't even hate. In fact, I think about this one every time I drive from Orlando to Lakeland. The one where it says, don't say raka to your brother. I mean, how many times we're driving for those, for men, and maybe, I don't know, I can just speak for myself. Men, somebody cuts you off and you're like, you idiot. And you go, was that raka, Lord? Galatians 3:24 says, so that the law has become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, or Messiah, that we might be justified by faith. And now 25 says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We're not being taught by the tutor. In fact, we're in an even better place because Messiah, the new covenant, the new covenant has actually placed the law in our heart. God's placed within us. We don't read it, understand. God has placed that desire within our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh to follow him. If God didn't draw us, if God hadn't drawn me to him, I wouldn't have gone there. And I'm not exactly sure why God showed me this earlier in my faith walk, but he showed me what I would have become if I had made the choice to follow him, and it was not pretty at all. So it made me just that much more thankful that God intervened in my life and showed me a better way. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom's right here. Through the Ruach HaKodesh. We need to build upon it. In fact, Galatians tells us that if we learn to listen to the Ruach, we wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The scriptures also tell us, be holy as I am holy, or be perfect as I am perfect. Well, there's a high calling, a high target to shoot at, to be perfect like God. But we should strive to get there through studying, through prayer, through worship, through putting in the effort that it's going to take. So I'm not going to make any New Year's resolutions this year because I can't think of even one New Year's resolution that I have made that I've kept. So why waste my breath? But I'll tell you what I will do through the strength of the Lord. Not in my strength, because leaning on my strength is not going to go anywhere. But I'm going to seek the Lord to pray more this year. I'm going to seek the Lord to study more this year. I'm going to seek the Lord to worship him more than I have ever worshiped him before. And I think if I do that, I think if you do that, I think if we do that, could you imagine where I would be in a year? Could you imagine where you would be in a year. Can you imagine where this congregation would be in a year? Because we'd be listening to the Holy Spirit. We'd be listening to the Lord. And we wouldn't miss those things where the Lord speaks for us to move. But because it's hard, we don't move. And we've got some things coming up this next year that we really need the Lord to guide us. We have, what, 200 and a lot. We have a lot for the building fund, but we need the Lord to show us the right place. The place that he has, and not jump the gun and just grab the first place that comes out because it looks nice. We got to make sure it's the Lord's place. Amen. So, if you'll all stand with me as we say the Aaronic benediction.